بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فقد قال الله عز وجل في القرآن المجيد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الصلاة عماد الدين فمن أقامها فقد أقام الدين ومن هدمها فقد هدم الدين او كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم Respected brothers and sisters, this is the holy month of Rajab al-Mu'ajjab. In this holy month, the greatest miracle, one of the greatest miracles of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم took place, which was on 27th night of this holy month of Rajab, which is called Isra wal Mi'raj. And this journey of Mi'raj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was physical journey, not in the dream. And more than 34 Sahaba radiyallahu alayhim ajma'in, amongst them Abu Bakr Siddiq, Hazrat Usman, Hazrat Abu Huraira, Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhum, they have narrated this incident, and it is mentioned in Bukhari and Muslim Sharif. So it is evident that this journey of Mi'raj took place physically, because if it happened in the dream, then there is no miracle. Everyone dreaming every night and they're going where and where. So it's not difficult to travel in the dream, but it took place miraculously with the soul and body. Now, none of the creation amongst the Anbiya alayhi salam or even the angels had this honor and this visit of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly face to face. It's only our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been granted this opportunity and this honor. And prior to this, so many things happen in the life of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the social boycott took place for 3 years, and because of that critical days and nights, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his whole family had to stay in the valley of Abi Talib without food, without shelter, and without any water to drink. Just imagine what's going on in Palestine and Gaza right now. So this is the great sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He and his Mubarak family already went through this kind of situation to show the example to the Ummah. This is how the Islam and Iman can be strengthened. Exactly the situation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, they have boycotted Abu Jahl and his company, that no one will socialize with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his family, no one will do business with them, no one will supply them any life food. And they knew it. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a small children, an elderly wife, and his uncle Abu Talib voluntarily stay with him. It was boycott only for the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but out of love, affection and caring to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Talib voluntarily said, if my nephew and his family is going to suffer, they will be thirsty and hungry. I cannot enjoy food sitting at home in Makkah Mukarramah. So he voluntarily accompanied them, and he was a very old person. So because of these 3 years of disconnection of the food and water supply, etc., the children of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to cry whole night without food, without water. Sometimes they used to chew the leaves and grass to survive. So this is not new for the Muslims, my brothers. Our people in Gaza suffering, this happened in the very beginning with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Mob lynching took place in Makkah, in the gullies of Makkah, with Hadrat Sumayya radiallahu anha, Hadrat Khabbab ibn Alat radiallahu anha, Hadrat Ammar, Hadrat Yasir, Hadrat Bilal radiallahu anha, you name it. So many stories you find in the Hayat al-Sahaba, that how because of the Iman, to preserve the Iman, Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala al-Majma'in had to go through all these difficulties, trials and tribulations. Then when the boycott ended, after 3 years, because of this weakness of hunger, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha couldn't make, and she passed away. And then after a few days or few weeks, Hazrat Abu Talib also passed away. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam lost his internal supporter and external supporter, both of them. They were pillar of supports to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now he left alone. No one in Makkan society to stand by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in every thick and thin condition and situation. So now he lost the hope. He said, let me try some other town, neighboring town. So he walked through from Makkah Mukarramah all the way to Taif with his slave. And there he has the hope, because his maternal relatives, all the tribal people living in the Taif, they were well off. They were civilized. So he had hope that these people are intelligent people. They will understand my message and they will embrace Islam. With this hope, he took this journey all the way to Taif. But he reached to the Taif, and he visited individually every leader of the tribe. But none of them listened to him. Instead of listening, they mocked on him. They insulted him. They humiliated him. That period of staying in Taif, my brothers and sisters, was almost 2 weeks. 2 weeks he was trying, day and night. Not a single soul, not one individual accepted his message in the whole society. And then he gave up. And they threatened him that you must leave our town. You are inviting towards one Allah, we don't understand your message. You go away from here. You are condemning our gods and goddesses. You should not stay with us. So as Rasulullah with a broken heart started returning back towards Makkah, they say to their youngsters, go and pelt him. So youngsters started pelting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was running. To that extent, as we know, the whole body of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was full of blood, and his heart was broken. Just imagine you are going alone and someone throwing stone on you. How humiliated you feel. That's why Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha once asked our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which day was difficult day in your life? She was thinking the day of battle of Uhud, because she physically, personally took part in the battle of Uhud, and that was a horrible day. More than 70 Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam became shaheed including the most beloved uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, and his entire body was mutilated. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam cried upon the death of his beloved uncle Hamza radiallahu ta'ala the way he did not cry for anyone else. Days and days he was keep on crying, he keep on praying Salatul Janada over and over and over again, more than 70 times on the Mayyit of Hazrat Hamza. That was the grief, that was the sorrow, that was the, you know, internal feeling of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And his Mubarak teeth became shaheed, broken, and we know what happened in Battle of Uhud. So that Aisha Siddiqa was witnessing all this scenario, all this chaos. So in her mind, that was the most difficult day in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why she asked the question. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's answer was different. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no. Battle of Uhud was not that hard. Hardest day in my life was the day of Taif, when people mocked on me and pelted me. That was the most difficult day in my entire life. Because my brothers and sisters, what happened in Uhud, it is difficult. But more dangerous and more difficult spiritual wise and emotional was the incident of Taif. Because all the historians, they have written the books on the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in more detail in what happened into the Taif, but they only describe the physical scenario that youngsters were pelting and mocking and insulting and humiliating Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's all they have written in the book of seerah. But emotionally, internally, how much of painful that event was for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no one can describe. Physically you can describe, oh, his hand was broken, or the full of blood, this. But emotionally hurt is more difficult than physically hurt. So that emotion, that, you know, the hope he went there to invite them towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the way they treated him, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam could not forget it. At that moment he became hopeless. At the Battle of Uhud he was not hopeless. He had the hope on the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah will change the scenario. But at the Taif he lost the hope. What next? What will happen to me? I lost my most beloved wife and my uncle. I came with the hope to invite them, and this is what they did to me. Now, where can I go? Who will listen to me? Who will accept my message? So that day was more difficult day emotionally for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as he came back to Makkah Mukarramah, and he slept with her in the house of Ummi Hani radiallahu ta'ala anha, the cousin, the sister of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anha, the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there this incident of Mi'raj took place. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O my beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, don't be hopeless. Inna ma'al usri yusra. If the people of this earth are not listening, are not respecting, are not honoring to you, come up. All the angels are waiting to visit you, to honor you, to respect you, to listen to you, to comfort you. Come on here. And that's how this miraculous journey took place. And then how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described in the Holy Quran in Bani Israel, that Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa. Abd. Out of all the attributes, name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has highlighted the word abd. What is the abd meaning? This is the most beloved attribute and sifat of human being which Allah loved the most. Abdiyat. That's why in this miraculous occasion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used word abd. Now in Arabic, what is the abd? Abd means slave. Now there is a difference between servant and the slave. Ulama explained, what is the servant? A servant means you are hiring somebody for certain time, and he comes and he works for you for certain period of time, and then he's free. After that he goes away. You pay him the wages or whatever salary you have fixed for him, and work is done, job is done, and he's go away. So he is working for you only for certain time, certain period, for certain amount. You're paying him for that service. As for the slave, slave has no desire. Slave is 24/7 under the control and mastership of the master. Master has purchased him. He cannot eat what he likes to eat. He is a slave. He cannot wear the way, the color of the clothes he likes to wear. No, he is a slave. He got no money. He cannot sleep at the time he wants to sleep. No, he has to wait for his master's permission. So everything of this worldly life, he has no control over it. He is a slave. 24/7, he is under the surveillance of his master. His obedience to his master, whatever his master going to give him to eat, he will eat. What, which kind of clothes he give it to him, he's going to wear. Whatever command he say, he has to obey. So this is the quality of the slave. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be his slave, not the servant. Slave. Meaning, you have to sacrifice your lust and desire for the pleasure of Allah and Master. You cannot sleep the time you want to sleep. You cannot eat what you like to eat. There is a halal and haram instructions, guideline mentioned in the Quran and ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when you devote yourself 100% totally submission and devotion to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the quality which Allah loves. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlighted this incident of Mi'raj and used the word of abd. My brother, this story we know, everybody knows, every year we repeat, I don't to go through with all this detail. But what lesson we learn from this incident? Number one, we should not lose hope. No matter how difficult time and phase we are facing, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Remember that. Whatever happened to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after all those difficulties, trials and tribulation, eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted him honor and dignity. And all other ahkamat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us through Jibreel alayhi salam. Zakat became farz through Jibreel alayhi salam. Hajj became farz through Jibreel alayhi salam. Siyam became farz of Ramadan through Jibreel alayhi salam. All ahkam, sharia, rules and regulations, you know, has been brought by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam through Jibreel alayhi salam. Except Salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not even use the medium of Jibreel alayhi salam between him and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he went up and he granted him the gift of Salah in front of him on the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is a precious, valuable gift of the Salah which is given to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the time of Mi'raj. And look at, initially it was 50 salat. You know, we cannot pray 50 salat in a whole day. That's why we should thank Musa alayhi salam. He was on the sixth heaven and he keep on forcing to go back and reduce the amount. So eventually it remained 5, as we know. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful. He said, my orders, my command don't change. I said 50, it will remain 50. But now, because of the weakness of your ummah, they cannot make it. I'm only making 5 times for us. But if your ummah will pray 5 times, punctually, regularly, on time, in their book of deed, I will write the rewards of 50 salah. For every salah, we are getting 10 times salah. My brother, that's why it's so important. That's why Rasulullah said, As-salat imaduddin. This is the pillar of the entire Islam. The pillar of the entire Islam. If a person's salat is regular, rest of the amal and actions and deals will be in proper manner. But if there's a deficiency and fault in the salat, rest of the amal will not be functioning in proper manner. That's why the first hisab on the Yawm al-Qiyamah will be with regard to the salat. My brothers, we don't know where our life is going to end. Maybe today is last day for so many people. This month of Rajab can be last month for so many people. So there is no guarantee of the life. This Salatul Jummah can be last Salat for us. Who knows, next Jummah, we will be survive or will be under the ground. So take care of your rest of the life and be punctual on your daily Salat. In this trial and tribulations, that's why my brothers and sisters, one point I wanted to highlight and I'll conclude, that the ulama said, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken this journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam via Burak from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa and then from Masjid al-Aqsa to the heaven. He could take him directly from the Kaabatullah to the heaven. Why have to go via Jerusalem, via Masjid al-Aqsa? So ulama given so many answers. One of these is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show the nubuwwat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is horizontally covering the whole globe, whole universe. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not made Nabi just for one place, Makkah Mukarramah. He is the Nabi of the entire universe and entire globe from east to west. That's why he's taken his journey from that end to this end. Another reason that we, the Ummah of Rasulullah ﷺ, can get benefit of the Noor and Barakat and blessing of Masjid al-Haram and Kaabatullah, as well as we can get the benefit and Noor of the Masjid al-Aqsa as well. The both Qiblatain, both Qibla, we can benefit the Barakat and blessings of the both Qibla. Previous Ummah never had this opportunity. The third thing is, all the Anbiya alayhi salam from the time of Adam alayhi salam till Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them different kind of qualities, different kind of attributes. All those attributes, all those qualities, all those sifat, which individually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted to different Anbiya and Prophet at the time, collectively all these sifat and attributes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gathered and granted to our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now you are Imamul Anbiya. Now you are Sayyidul Mursaleen. Every Nabi is going to pray Salat behind you. This is the honor only given to our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are so many wisdom, we don't have time. So this is the message for this Mi'raj, that we should take care of our Salat. If you take care of the Salat, this life will be successful and life in hereafter also will be successful. May Allah give us profit from that.